So, let's talk about God's presence. Who felt God's presence in today's worship? Can I give a hand? Yes? Amen? Praise God? Cool. So, we all know the verse, like, where two or more gathered, he is there. And that is true. And we saw that in our worship. But oftentimes, we talk about God in church, but we forget to invite him. So, we just talk about the characteristics of God, that we don't actually look at God, but we look at the characteristics of God instead of him himself. And, like, church is good and stuff, but in the end of the day, it's between you and God. And you spending time in his presence is what's going to make you grow. And that brings us to a couple questions I want us to ask ourselves. And it's, was God something that was told to you or revealed to you? So do you know of God from what other people are telling you God is, or from your personal revelations of who God is to you? Is it your personal experience with God that changed you, or what others told you about God that changed you? And like, people can teach you all they want about God, but if he doesn't personally touch you, you're not going to leave changed from services. I mean, you may think different, but you're still going to be at your own, I guess, ways that you were living in before. And that even goes with Christian schools. For example, I went to a Christian school growing up and I learned about God. That didn't change anything at all. I knew about God, but I was still doing my own thing because I was learning about God and not learning from God. And it wasn't until I personally encountered God that, hey, there's more to God than just going to a Christian school and church. And a lot of American churches, I just say this because I've noticed this, because I've been to other American churches, is they experience religion and not God. So they gather at a church and it doesn't seem like God's there. It seems like religion is there. And religion doesn't change people. God changes people. And oftentimes when we do see God in a church like we did tonight, but we don't feel him or we don't notice him, is because we focus on ourselves and our problems, that we forget that God is here. And things get stale and seem silent for us when we focus on things that we are worrying about or things we hear about God instead of God himself. Like, how many of you guys know that we can say, praise God, and not even be looking at him? How many empty, worthless sacrifices do we give to God? I give a lot, I'm not going to lie. Because my heart might be somewhere else, and I'm just like, oh, praise God, brother. You know? And it is true, we do that so much. We're like, how's your day going, Nick? Oh, praise God, man. Like, But inside, I'm like, this sucks. I hate everything. Like, don't talk to me. And that changes when you start to sit into God's presence and just encounter him. So we ask for God to be present in our services and meetings, right? Like, that's the whole point. And do we know what we are actually asking when we say, God, please come here? Like, when we ask for God's presence, we are asking God himself to be present. Did you guys get that? When we ask for God's presence, we are asking God to be present. You can't have a person's presence without them being in the room. It's impossible. Like, they have to be in the room with you for them to experience their presence. Like, if I was just, someone was like, Nick, we need your presence, Nick. And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. Do you guys feel my presence? It's like, no, you don't feel my presence because I'm not in the room. And So when we ask for God to be present, like where we're at, it's we're asking God to come into the room with us and spend time with, like, be present with us. Genesis, no, I lied. I'm sorry. Matthew 15, 8 through 9. This is the first verse. These people honor me. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. So that even goes back to, like, how I was saying, like, you can say praise God, but not even be looking at him. Like, yeah, our lips may be saying one thing, but in reality, our hearts are, like, in a different country, like, doing something else. I don't know. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the presence of the Lord was in the garden, right? And because the presence of the Lord was in the garden, they physically hid themselves. So God was physically there with them, and they physically hid. So I just want you guys to kind of understand that when the presence of God is here, then God is here himself. Psalms 16:11. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures for everyone. So in his presence there is fullness of joy. You want joy? Go into his presence. It's really that simple. We overcomplicate it. We're like, I don't feel so happy. Maybe I'll just, you know, eat some good ice cream. And maybe tomorrow I'll feel a little better. It's like, no, that's not what you do. You have a problem, you go straight to God, and he'll give you fullness of joy. In his presence, the lies you face no longer seem like a reality. So whatever junk is going around in your head, in his presence, all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is useless. I don't need this. And I just realized the importance of running to God's presence when you have a problem. You do not leave God's presence until whatever issue you have is solved. And I told this to someone the other day, and they were like, yeah, you're right. And then they did it, and they're like, it fixed their problem. It made them feel better. It's like, who would have guessed? So whenever you're feeling like anxious or worried, you just ask God to show up, you go into his presence, and then all that you can focus on is just God. And he's like, I am here, I am holy, worship me. And you're like, okay, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, everything just disappears. Like, nothing doesn't matter. Nothing doesn't matter at all. You just don't care about anything else. All you can say is Jesus and holy. Have you ever been in that situation where you're in worshiping and the only thing you can say is holy or Jesus? Because nothing else can, like, you can't describe God with anything else because that's all he is. Just holy. You cannot be in God's presence and not be changed. It is impossible to not leave unchanged after encountering God. If you leave unchanged, you didn't encounter God. It's that simple. And I'm going to bring up some examples from the Bible. Sorry if I'm reading too much from the Bible. It's kind of important. Exodus 3:1-6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So, if we can go back to the top verse. So the first thing, we first noticed that how Moses stopped what he was doing to go look at the verse, to go look at the bush. That was his first thing that he did. He turned his attention to the bush. The Lord then noticed that he took his attention and put it towards the bush. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out to the bush. So first, Moses turned his attention, and then God called out to him. So in the same way, like, sometimes we find it so difficult to get into God's presence, and all we have to do is turn our attention towards him, and then he'll call out to us. And then Moses turned his attention, then he got encountered. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And people are like, oh, you know, the fear of the Lord, we describe it like it's a reverence, it's a respect. But sometimes it's literally fearing the Lord, like being terrified. If you saw a burning bush and then said, "Take off your sandals, because this is a holy ground," I'd be pretty terrified. I wouldn't be like, "I respect that." I'd be like, "What is going on? I am freaking out." Okay, and then let's skip a couple of chapters ahead. Exodus 34, 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the Testament in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Oh, I just lost my place. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all his leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord has spoken with him at Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel what he was commanded. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with him. So, it's kind of interesting how Moses first hid his face because he was afraid to look at God the first time. And now Moses spent so much time with God that he had to hide his face from other people because the presence was so on him. So first he was scared to look at God. And after spending so much time, other people were scared to look at his face because God's presence was so on him that his face was glowing. Like, have you ever seen a glowing face, guys? I haven't. That'd be really cool. I wish I spent so much time in the presence that my face was literally glowing. How cool would that be? And this is pre-curtain, tore, veil, covenant. This is before Jesus came down. So we have this greater ability to spend time with Jesus. And Moses did that without the veil being torn. So how crazy is that in a good way? And then another example of someone who spent time in the presence of the Lord, it's 1 Samuel 2:21. It's the story of Samuel. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. So Samuel was a dude who grew up in the presence of the Lord. Hannah basically promised his life to God, and Samuel then grew in the presence of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 12. This is a couple, just a chapter ahead. And this is the story of when Samuel started hearing God's voice, but he didn't know that it was God's voice. So then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet. So he was just hearing a voice, and he had no idea it was God. And basically, Eli was like, "Yo, you're hearing God. Next time you hear him, say, 'Here I am, your servant.'" And Samuel basically did that. It says, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come." No, that's the wrong verse. And he said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle, on the day I will fulfill against Eli." So it's kind of cool how even in this story, Samuel first had to bring his attention to the Lord and acknowledge the Lord before he could encounter him. So Samuel was like, turned his attention to God and said, "Here I am, your servant." Same thing with Moses. Moses had to turn his attention to the bush. Samuel turned his attention to God and said, "Here I am, your servant." And it was at that moment that he encountered God. And then skip a couple verses ahead, 1 Samuel 3:19 through 21. "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So as Samuel kept growing, the Lord was with him, and basically established his ways. He became a prophet. The Lord used him greatly. And it was from that encounter where he first, like, okay, I'm hearing God's voice, I'm going to put my attention to him, and then God could use him. So you're probably asking, okay, Nick, I get it. The presence is great and all, but what about the Bible? We need verses. We can't just sit in a room quietly humming and then God will come. It's like, yeah, you're right. So how do we balance spending time with God and reading the Bible? Anyone know? Bingo. You read the Bible in God's presence. It's really that simple. Like, we're like, sometimes we are like, "I don't want to read the Bible right now." Reading the Bible is kind of like schoolwork sometimes. We're like, "I'm going to read 3 chapters. I'm going to be good. And then I'm going to be more holy." But it doesn't really work like that. Like, we should be reading the Bible in God's presence, because that's when revelations come. That's when the word just starts to blow up in your face and becomes alive. Like, I recently discovered this, like, reading the Bible in God's presence. And it just automatically, everything you're reading just, for some reason, just blowing your mind. Like, you're reading the genealogy, where it's like, Josaphat begot Joseph, like, you know, all those. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. Like, I was so interested in it, and I had no idea why. Because it's like, just a bunch of names right after each other. And that's what happens when you read the Bible in God's presence. Everything automatically just gives you food. It just makes sense. Psalms 119:130. "The unfolding of thy words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple." So when you're in God's presence reading the Bible, the words begin to unfold and give you light. And then it starts to give you understanding, even though you're simple. Who here is simple? Everyone else is a Bible scholar, okay? John 1:14. Everyone should know this. It's like a Christian verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we're reading the Bible, the Word became flesh, we're reading about Jesus. Wait a second, it's connected to his presence, because we're reading about Jesus. Isn't that funny? So as we read the Bible in God's presence, we begin to gain wisdom. We start to think of things that we're like, where on earth did I think of that? How did I find the words to say that? And it comes from spending time and doing this. And all wisdom is the understanding of truth. Wisdom is just the understanding of truth. You want to become wise? Just stay in the presence of God. That's where revelations are born. And what better place to get revelations than from God himself? Yeah, it's good to get like catchphrases from other sermons and stuff, but I'd rather get catchphrases straight from God, you know? Not even catchphrases, but just revelations. And has anyone else like noticed that when you come out of God's presence, everything just is supernaturally clear? Everything's just clarity? But then a couple hours later, things start to like grab onto you, and then all of a sudden you're back where you're at. Anyone else feel that? Yeah? And we're supposed to stay in that clarity at all times. Like, we're supposed to be living in God's presence so we have that clarity to do his will. It's when we're out of God's presence that the lies start to be able to grab hold onto you. But if you're in his presence, the lies literally cannot touch you, because you're with God, and like, let's be honest, nobody's going to attack you if you're with God. And your problems may seem like problems until God shows up and shows you that your problems are just insignificant obstacles, little stepping stones. And then you might be asking, well, if God is here with me, then why am I still in so much fear? Why am I still so anxious and feel really far away from God? And it's really simple. You can be standing right next to Jesus and still feel fear from your problems. You can be right next to Jesus and still experience fear and anxiety. And you're like, Nick, how could you say that? We just talked about how God's presence just gets rid of everything. It's like, yeah, that's true. But Mark 4:35 through 40. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" So we can be so caught up in our problems that we forget that Jesus is standing like right next to us. The reason that we still sometimes fear, like we're worshiping and everyone else around us is like crying, having a great time, but we're still in so much pain from just internal pain and crying. It's because we're so caught up with our own problems that we forget that Jesus is here with us. And God is always flowing in those moments. It's our choice whether we want to move into the stream and take part in it. Leave our problems and look at him. When you stop saying, "God, I feel so terrible, I feel all this and stuff," and begin saying, "God, you are so holy, you are so good," then the things that you are feeling, they just kind of pull off, you know? And another thing that like tries to separate us from the presence of God is when we make mistakes. Who makes mistakes here? I make a lot of mistakes, guys. And making mistakes will try to separate us from God. Our first reaction when we mess up and make a mistake is to run away from God. Like, we're like, oh, we made a mistake. I can't pray right now. I feel so bad. I need to go crawl into a ball in my room and just like wait it out a couple, and then I'll pray because I don't feel that good. But we should instantly like run straight to God and be like, fix me, please. Like, I need you. Our shame and regret should not overpower us from running to God. It should motivate us to run to God. And I had this problem for a while where I would make a mistake and I would just feel so terrible that I just had to be in isolation and let my feelings pass. But my feelings didn't pass because I didn't deal with them properly. So an example of what we should do when we mess up is classic textbook David, Psalms 51:10-16. Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressions thy ways and sinners will return to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of thy deliverance. And then the next verse. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. So David, we all know the story of David and what he did, right? Like how he did the big oopsie daisies, where he was staying home while there was a war going on. Decided to go on his roof, just walking around like a man does on his roof, just looking around. And then all of a sudden he's like, huh, who is that lady? And he finds out who that lady is, and he kind of kills her husband. Well, he does, yeah, literally kills her husband. And that's a pretty big mistake, right? That's not just I call someone a bad word type of mistake. That's I killed her husband type of mistake. And David was so like in touch with God's presence. He knew of the importance of running straight back to God. And it even says in this verse, like, do not take the Holy Spirit away from me. It was so important to him that he understood that he needed to come right with God. God needed to cleanse his heart, and he did that with like God's presence. Like, he was the type of guy that was called a man after God's heart. That's pretty crazy. And he knew the importance of the presence. So if you want to be a man after God's heart, you should probably seek the presence like David did. Because he was a poet. He had revelations. He was prophesying about Jesus before he was even born. You can't do that without spending time with God. That doesn't just come like in the shower. Like, it's not a shower thought that you just get when you're showering. All of a sudden, like, huh. Yeah. And that even goes towards your prayer life. Like, how many of us like to pray? And when we first begin to pray, or like started learning to pray, it would always be about us, right? Like, Lord, make me better person. Lord, make me. Lord, do this to me. Lord, me. But when your desires become his desires, your prayer life shifts from a selfish perspective to a selfless perspective. You start praying for you don't pray for yourself because it's not the first thing that comes to your mind. You pray for others because you understand that when you're in the presence, that's where your problems get solved. You don't have to pray about your problems because they just get automatically solved in the presence of God. So if you get anything from this, I just super really recommend learning to get in the presence of God. And I'm not saying like getting on your knees for 8 hours a day and like, Lord, I need you, but truly discovering what that is for you to host God's presence wherever you are. For me, it might not look like something that would work for you. You have to seek it out yourself. Like the Bible even says, like, seek me wholeheartedly and I will reveal myself. So it's when you truly, purely with a pure heart, you seek God, then he will begin to reveal himself to you. And you begin to learn what you can do to host God's presence. And you know when he comes because everything just makes sense. It's a song. It's true. Just kidding. So yeah, I'm just going to pray for us that the Lord will just move your hearts in the direction where he can speak to you, that he can open up your ears to truly hear his voice. And that all starts with turning your attention towards him and acknowledging him. I mean, we saw the countless examples in the Bible of each person just turning their attention first to God, and then God encounters them. So forget about your problems, you'll survive, and look at God, and then that's how you fix your problems. It's really that easy, but it's not easy because it's so simple. So, Lord, we just come before you and we just thank you that you showed up during the worship, Lord, that you touched hearts, that you changed.